Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering in Christ Alone in New Orleans, Louisiana. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. And they have a great booth here at the National Youth Gathering as well. As a matter of fact, in the mile-long convention center, you can see it from the KFUO booth, giant banner on about halfway down the convention center here in New Orleans. Joining me at the KFUO broadcast booth today, Cassie Moore. She's the author of Authentic Youth Ministry, straight talk about working with kids, teens, and in-betweens from Concordia Publishing House, a DCE and teacher, all-around Christian educator in Florida. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
You're also on the planning team.
I am.
Here at the National Youth Gathering.
I am.
And wife.
My husband is a pastor in Florida. So we are both here working the gathering, and it has been a long but fun process for the last 2 years. So we are excited to finally see it all come together.
Well, very good. Glad to have some time with you here at the National Youth Gathering. I know that you have important duties as part of the gathering team, and it was nice of your team to let you step away for a little bit so we could talk about your work in youth ministry and how you've shared your wisdom from years of youth ministry here in your book, Authentic Youth Ministry. Authentic, that's a key word these days. Why is it important that whatever you do in youth ministry, that it be authentic? Why has it been important to you in your ministry?
Yeah, I think being authentic is just key when you're working with youth especially, because they can tell if you're not really into it and you're faking it. You know, they have an extra fine-tuned radar for that. So all of these kids, you know, all ages that we work with, what they really are looking for in their leaders is just authenticity and humility and a servant heart. And I think I wrote this book out of a concern in my own ministry that there was nothing to give people. You know, I had volunteers coming in for vacation Bible school and for Sunday school. There was nothing to really give them that was an all-encompassing how-to. You know, how do you work with little kids? What should you expect developmentally? You know, how do you discipline children? How do you control your youth group? What do you do with discipline? So just a lot of things that I really just saw a need and said.
So now you just hand them the book?
Now I just hand them the book. And it's been fun preparing for the gathering. I know I've had some friends say, oh, all of my youth leaders, my volunteers and chaperones are reading your book to prepare for the gathering. So it's been fun. I've had some airport spottings of people walking around with my book and had a great chance to talk to people here. So it's been quite an interesting experience for a first-time author.
How did you get... when would you say you were first interested in youth ministry and potentially becoming a DCE?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really, throughout my life, just always had an interest in serving my church and working with people. Actually never had a youth group, so this was sort of a new experience for me. But in high school, I really went through and thought I was going to go into a totally different career path, but God just really called me kind of my senior year of high school, and it completely did a 180 and started looking at Concordia University schools to go into theology, and just, you know, kind of looked at programs and said, I really like this director of Christian education program, really fits me. So I ended up going to Concordia Irvine and just loved it there, but have many, many friends from all Concordias and just have been so tremendously blessed in being a DCE and working with so many great pastors and teachers and other DCEs.
If I remember correctly, you share this in the book, you were planning on studying art. Is that right?
And I teach a little bit of art every once in a while, but I've always loved art. I've always loved writing. I wrote for my school newspaper, so...
that was a fun story, too.
I had some rebellious times, so it prepared me to work with teenagers, because I know, you know, I was a little bit goofy sometimes and played a lot of pranks, so I am familiar with some of the warning signs rumbling in a youth group, to say.
I love your stories that you share a lot of personal stories, little vignettes from from your life, whether it was as a youth or as a youth leader. And I love the story about when your school changed to school uniforms mm-hmm. that could have no logos on them. Mm-hmm. And so you just came up with a creative idea. You bought a roll of smiley face stickers, started putting them on there to cover up the logos. And then you thought you were set. And then all your friends caught on and started...
Yeah.
You started sharing the stickers and had this whole secret campaign, and then you got caught.
And then my teachers were not too happy with me.
But what did they say? What was it about that? Because you had that, and I think there might have been some other incidents as well, but that you had the attention of your classmates, and you had this way of leading them. What was it that your teacher, your leader, said to you that...
Yeah,
that made you realize your gifts and abilities.
It was my strictest teacher that I was terrified of. So she pulled me aside and said, you know, leadership is a gift and you cannot abuse it. And that was really the first time in my life that somebody in authority recognized me as a leader. And I think it started me down the path of realizing, hey, there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of influence that I have with my classmates and with my peers, and that's a gift that I want to really to use. And that's, if God has given me that gift, it's something that I should pay attention to. So it was a great learning moment for me.
And being a writer, you share these stories from your youth, from your time as a youth leader or as serving in youth ministry. So that the rest of us can benefit from those as well. So that's certainly a gift too, being able to chronicle, to write these stories and share them. You mentioned that it's important to learn to use this gift of leadership responsibly and faithfully. What are some other ways that you've learned to use these gifts responsibly and in service to our Lord and His people?
Yeah, I think what I've really learned in the years that I've been serving my church. I started in Vacation Bible School as a volunteer when I was 12 years old. So that really was the first thing that sort of got me into serving with my church. And though I didn't have a youth group, I had a great friend group throughout high school and into college. And I think humility is just so key in serving. And just, it's great to serve. It's great to just reach out. And that's how you live your faith out. We serve through Christ. And even as a gathering planner, I just see so much humility around me. And I see so many kids impacted for Jesus. And kids, I had the chance yesterday to walk around and just talk to participants and just to hear their stories and to hear how they've been touched by the people they've interacted with. It's just mm-hmm. amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about that, being a gathering planner, being involved in the National Youth Gathering, which this is number 13 in the number of National Youth Gatherings in the LCMS. What number is this for you?
This is number 2 that I have been a gathering planner mm-hmm. for. So I led a group of about 50 kids several years ago, and then I myself went as a gathering participant when I was in high school. So I was actually a freshman in high school in 2001 in New Orleans, and had just a fantastic time here.
Wonderful. And so back in New Orleans this week mm-hmm. and here as a gathering planner, and just give us an idea of what that entails. It's a 3-year process, right?
It is. It's a lot more than meets the eye. Your average person comes into the National Youth Gathering from all across the country, and they see just incredible things set up. And you don't always see the backstory. You don't see that we've been meeting as a team for years, and we've been, everything started as an idea sitting around maybe a cup of coffee, and it morphed into, many different versions of what can work and what can we scale down to fit for our group. And it's been basically a part-time job for me for the last 2 years as an experiential team lead. So I've been managing a team. They have been fantastic, and it's just incredible to see everything come to life. It started as just a little idea in our brains, and now it's this thing that people are experiencing on the floor.
What does that mean, experiential team?
Experiential is where we take the main idea of the National Youth Gathering, everything that people hear, maybe at a mass event, and we give it to students so they can really experience it. They can hold something in their hands, they can make something, they can walk through something, they can process and talk. And it really just reaches them in a different way. So we have many, many different themes and ideas and activities for them to do. Everything from walking through an experience to see, how hard is it to get water in a third world country, to doing something with community, to writing their thoughts on a graffiti board, to bouncing around in a ball pit and meeting a stranger and finding out you have something in common. So there's just a ton of stuff, and it's been incredible to see people really interact and just love it this week.
Hopefully I'll have a chance to make it down there. I had a chance. One of the privileges of, you know, being in media and broadcasting is getting into the convention center before, really, there were probably like four or five other people in here this morning when I came in, and having a chance to walk around while it's pretty quiet in here, other than, you know, the cleaning folks, making sure everything's nice and clean. I had a chance to walk around and see all these things, all the experiential area, not in use, but ready to go for the youth today, and thinking, I bet this is a lively place once the youth are here and once the young adult volunteers are here and
yes,
and planning team are here. It's a busy place.
It is very loud and very lively, and we have almost a human wave of people come through in the morning. It's incredible to watch it come to life.
How does something like National Youth Gathering play a part in youth ministry for whether it's a DCE or a parent or a volunteer youth leader in their congregation? How does National Youth Gathering play a part in youth ministry in the local parish and local congregation?
I think there are so many valuable things that the National Youth Gathering does. I think for participants, it just gives them an incredible sense of community. You know, there is nothing like looking out and seeing 25,000 other people that believe what I believe, that have been through confirmation, that, you know, have done memory work, that, you know, I'm not alone. A lot of our participants come from smaller churches, and it's just so eye-opening to them. And it's just, I think, such an incredible moment in their lives that they see the Holy Spirit work. And I think all of those leaders, all of those adults, all the chaperones and everybody who's staffing it, it's just incredible to see students' lives being touched and to see the Holy Spirit working through them and to see them interacting with people in the city and just loving it. It's pretty amazing. So I think it does so much. It certainly was an incredible moment in my life. And, you know, as a gathering planner, I know so many people here, so many great professionals that I've worked with throughout the years. So it's great to see them, to be encouraged by them, mm-hmm. to pray together. You know, we just pray all day long. And, you know, it's something I talk about in my book. I think that just authentic encouragement. We're all in it together. We all have our struggles. We have our joys. So, you know, let's live life together. Let's be authentic.
In your book, you share some of the do's and don'ts based on your own experience in youth ministry. You know, here's a good example of what not to do.
Right. Because I think, honestly, in youth ministry, we don't want to be preached at. You know,
sure.
A lot of times I'm working with people that have full-time jobs, and they come in and they're tired and they're exhausted and maybe they're not professionally trained. And, you know, we all screw up. So what we need to hear is, hey, I screwed up too. And, you know, I learn from it. And this is what I want to pass along to you. So I've tried to be very, very, very real, to the point where I sometimes... Yes, authentic. Sometimes I think maybe I've made a fool of myself in some of the things I've said, but the whole world knows it now. So, oh, well.
Well, you know, we're at the National Youth Gathering. We're well into it. Only, you know, today and tomorrow left, and people are starting to get tired. And I think that was one of the examples that you used in your book was you were on a long trip, you were just exhausted, and getting to probably, I don't know, maybe the end of the trip, I think you were at dinner with some youth, and if I remember correctly from this story, you know what story I'm using?
I know exactly what you're going to say. I happened to be at the tail end of a mission trip, and anybody who's ever been on a mission trip or a youth trip, you know exactly what I mean when I say you get to a point in the trip where you're just happy everybody is alive. Right? So
sure.
You can all relate to this. So I was at that point in this trip, and we stopped at a fast food restaurant, and I was just sitting there and ended up just picking up a handful of French fries and just chucking them at the boys in my group. It was middle school boys.
No, there was something that provoked it, though.
They were middle school boys. They were being stinkers. But they were just so appalled and so taken aback that as their leader, I would dare stoop to their level and throw French fries across the restaurant. I was expecting that they would laugh, and, you know, they just sat and just were in shock looking at me like, I just can't believe you did that, Cassie. I'm so embarrassed. So I learned that sometimes it's a hard, hard road as a leader.
Where did it go from there?
You know, it went to me realizing that it sometimes it it takes sucking it up and admitting maybe you're wrong. Maybe the Holy Spirit is teaching you something in a weak moment. But, you know, we are all a work in progress, and Christ is working in all of our lives. And the beautiful thing about that is that we are not expected to be perfect, because we're not able to be perfect. So, you know, as Christians, we have that forgiveness and we have that grace, and we love that.
You made that very clear in your book that, you know, this was you admitted your fault to your students and were very clear about that. But it was also an opportunity for forgiveness and for your students to see that you're a human being, that you make mistakes and that you have failures, and a person for whom Christ died as well. Mm-hmm. And they were able to see that, and they didn't want to see you throw fries anymore. But it was a good opportunity for them to see that you too need forgiveness just like them, and so that you can share that forgiveness with them as well when they make mistakes.
Right. Yeah.
Another valuable point that I appreciated from the book is that you talked about understanding your strengths and weaknesses, your gifts and abilities, your just own personality characteristics. As a fellow DCE going through that formation of becoming a DCE, had the opportunity to do one of those studies and learn that, you know, the personality type indicators and benefiting from that. Why is it valuable to understand not only your personality type and strengths and areas for growth, but also of those you serve and those with whom you serve? Why is it valuable in youth ministry to understand those things?
Right. I think it's incredibly valuable because you need to know yourself before you can serve others. And you need to know what you need to work on before you can really be an influential, a really positive role model in the lives of youth, because that's what they need. So I think you have to be honest and look in the mirror and face, you know, sometimes the harsh truth. And the fact is that there's no bad personality. God can use every one of us, no matter if you are a strong leader, if you are a quiet person, if you love to be up front, or if you're super organized and work behind the scenes. So, and I think when you learn that about yourself, you are able to pass that knowledge along to others and to look into their lives, especially in our students. I work with so many student leaders, and it's great to see them and to recognize those gifts in them.
One of those things you talked about being, whether you're a quiet person or, you know, an outgoing personality, whether you have preference for introversion or extroversion, you use a great story of traveling with one of your colleagues and who just happens to be here this week as well. And a fellow church worker, fellow DCE that I know. As I was reading the book, I said, I know exactly who that is.
I know. You asked me that the first time I saw you. You said, I think I know who you're talking about. So, yes, we were chatting about my friend Nick, who's one of my leaders here with the National Youth Gathering. And he's actually my commander-in-chief for this gathering. So he's doing a fantastic job. But, you know, we've traveled a lot together over the last few years, and we happen to be very opposite personalities. He's a little bit more introverted, and I am extremely extroverted. So there are many times where we'll be sitting together, and he is just sick of the world. He is sick of talking, and I'm just talking his ear off. So as somebody who tries to understand myself and to understand others, that was really, we happened to be on a trip to California one time, and we traveled 7 hours flying on the plane together, and I realized, you know, he needs to walk away and have some quiet time to recharge, and I just need to let him walk away, and, you know, it happened to work out. It's a great friendship, so God can work through every type of personality for sure.
If there's one thing you want our listeners to know who may be serving in youth ministry, partnering with parents, partnering with congregations and youth, if there's one thing you want them to know as we wrap up our time here today, what is it that you want them to know about their service in youth ministry?
I would say I truly think of all of the work that you can do in your life, working with youth, empowering the next generation, and sharing Christ with them to build up young leaders that can reach so many other people. That is truly the most important work that we can do. And investing in our youth, you know, they are not the leaders of tomorrow. They're the leaders right now. And I see that in my youth all the time. I see that in all of the young adults that are working this gathering, and every level of volunteers that make this incredible event for 25,000 people run. You know, you are not alone. and you are a part of a bigger picture and a bigger team, and we all work together for Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. So be encouraged in that.
Authentic Youth Ministry, straight talk about working with kids, teens, and in-betweens from Cassie Moore, available from Concordia Publishing House. Cassie, always great to talk with you. Thanks for stepping aside from your duties here at the National Youth Gathering to talk about your book with me today.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with more here at the National Youth Gathering. I'm Andy Bates, reporting from New Orleans. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The U.S. Supreme Court shocked the nation by declaring abortion mills get a pass on providing the same health and safety standards as other surgical centers. Abby Johnson, the former director of a Planned Parenthood abortion facility, has started a Not Over campaign. She's releasing details of shocking health reports on abortion mills, showing how desperately needed the law is to protect women. The first reports released show untrained nurses were giving sedation to patients. Women were laid on exam tables, not properly sterilized between patients, and instruments weren't sterilized between patients. The Supreme Court has thrown women to the wolves. Those wolves being a back alley abortion industry, putting profit before women's safety. It's the pro-lifers who really care about women and their babies.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
What does the story of Sodom and Gomorrah have to do with the Lord's Prayer? We'll find out Tuesday on Issues Etc. as we look forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll also have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Job.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering in Christ Alone from New Orleans, Louisiana. And we are in the convention center gearing up for another day here in the hall, in the convention center hall, the exhibitor floor and experiential learning, all kinds of things happening here at the National Youth Gathering. People gearing up for it right now. Lots of young adult volunteers walking through. Joining me at the table right now, Seth Hins from Michigan District. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Andy.
Good to have you here. You're also on the media team here at the National Youth Gathering.
That's correct. I'm serving as social media manager this year and working with a great team of people that are covering content from all the different platforms. So it's been fun.
It's like a giant web of trying to cover all of these things with social media. There's so many things going on. How do you even narrow down where to start?
Where to start? Oh, wow. Well, I think one of the biggest things that we need to do as our church body is really lift up the participants that are here. They're doing some fantastic things throughout the city, and God is really moving in and through them in the city and really being able to bless the city. So, I mean, really putting, I think, the focus on how God is moving here and how God is working in this town right now through the 25,000 people that are here has been fantastic to see on social media, and it kind of makes our job a little bit easier because we don't have to cover everything because there's so much great content that's already coming through all the streams.
Seth, how did you get involved in the National Youth Gathering and end up on the media team?
Sure. Well, last last time around in 2013, they wanted to cover social media just a little bit more because it's been enhancing every 3 years. You know, there's a lot of changes that happened in 3 years through social media. So I got connected through a good friend who was kind of already connected with the gathering, and they needed somebody for social media, and I was doing a little bit of that.
And that's your main job at the district, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit about what we do at the district. So I got connected through that, and it's just been great to kind of meet the folks here and connect with the excellent planning team people. So, yeah.
Well, very good. And now you're away from the office for a little bit. This is your office for the week.
This is the office, yeah. We have a little station, little corner of the world, but we are out and amongst the people here in the city, talking to people on the streets and in the convention center, on the experiential floor, really just trying to cover as much ground as we can because there's so much great things happening here.
What are you seeing at the National Youth Gathering? What are the things that are seeing that you're happening that, one that you want to share on social media, but as a parent, as a member of the church, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what are you seeing here that is encouraging to you?
That's an excellent question. First, I can't cover it all right here. but if you go to any of your social media platforms and you check out LCMS NYG, you'll be able to see a lot of what's going on, or you check the hashtag NYG2016, you'll be able to see a lot of it. But we've been seeing some great things. One of them, we've seen some pictures coming through, just being supportive of the police and the safety officers around the city that are keeping us safe, protecting us throughout this whole experience. Seen some great interaction between the participants and them, even some groups just being with them and praying with them, lifting them up. That's been excellent to see. We've had some connection on Twitter with the local police department, and it's just been fantastic to see that. A lot of pictures from the service aspect of the gathering. There are a lot of meals being packed here. There are some blood donation opportunities here. We had it covered yesterday, kind of on the local news.
Right.
Some of the donations here went to help the crisis going on in Baton Rouge. And so it's just, you know, we've seen things happening through the service of the participants. So it's not just, you know, all fun and games. We're actually seeing kind of the participants bless the city on social media, and it's just been fantastic.
This is the 13th National Youth Gathering of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Social media, I don't even know if that was something we were thinking about when we started National Youth Gatherings years ago. Why is it an important part of National Youth Gathering today? Why communicate via that way, and to whom are we communicating with social media?
Sure. That is a big question. why we're doing it is because social media connects people in a way that just wasn't possible even 3 or even 6 years ago. More people are using it. It's part of their everyday lives. We're coming into an age now where the generation that's coming up, the youth that are here participating in this gathering, have been on social media or have had it part of their lives more than any other generation. So it's just part of their life, how they speak, how they share their stories of their lives. And we have an opportunity to share the story of the gathering of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and how the intersection of those lives and those resources and those connection points happen. And so social media is just impacting people in a different way. So we have an opportunity to connect with people online, but also feature their stories. And it's really been a great opportunity to lift people up on all different platforms. Specifically, you know, Facebook. We have a really strong connection point to everyone at home that's kind of wondering how things are going. And so we're able to feature photo albums. We're able to feature some of the key videos that are happening so people can look in and see how their youth are experiencing the gathering through daily recaps and a lot of photo albums. On Twitter, we're able to really highlight and lift up youth groups. On Snapchat, there's just been a lot of fun stuff happening and getting people to become more aware of the different connection points on the experiential floor, et cetera. So there's just a lot of different ways that we've been able to connect with participants here.
So parents and other members of congregations and others who care about youth in our church can see, that they see pictures, they read posts, see videos, and see what's happening here at the National Youth Gathering. Even if they're not here, they get a sense of what's happening here.
Absolutely. We've been trying to cover the gathering as live as possible, so at any point you can actually go back through the streams and see exactly what the gathering experience was. If you want to go back on, you know, on Twitter, like at 11:30 at night, you can go back and see everything that kind of happened at Mass Event. You can see all the exactly what we're doing and experiencing as a group here. So being able to cover that on social media kind of creates a permanent record, a permanent story of what happened at this gathering here. And having that in this place and time will just kind of be a great way so anybody can go back and see exactly what everyone experienced. And hashtags that connect people help share that story even more so, because we can do our stuff, but people can add to that public record online of what the experience was, not from our vantage point, but from their vantage point as a participant. And that's huge.
There was a neat element to the Mass Event. I think it was maybe the first night with the hashtag, when as people were posting with hashtag, that many of those were showing up on the ribbons around the dome.
Yes.
The digital media ribbons.
We had an event July 16th that we invited our entire church body to the LCMS. It was called This Is My Church at NYG 2016. It started out of an idea that we really, this is our church body. You know, this is the future of the church, and we want to wrap this event in prayer and words of encouragement and to start off the week in a really positive way. And so we invited people through social media to start sending in prayers, words of support, encouraging messages on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever platform they preferred, using the hashtag This Is My Church at NYG 2016. And we had an overwhelming number of positive messages coming through. When those came in, we were able to show those on the ribbon boards around the Superdome. So we had prayers showing up on ribbon boards as people were walking into the Mass Event for the first time, reminding them that while they are here, they are being surrounded and covered in prayer from our entire church body. So it was a really positive event. I was so thankful to see so many positive messages coming through. So it was just a great opportunity for our church.
Another new social media aspect that brings a new dimension to social media for the gathering this year is Facebook Live. A whole new element, a whole new dimension. What does that add to the social media presence for the National Youth Gathering and other opportunities as well?
There are some moments that are kind of those breaking story moments that happen around the gathering. And it could be, you know, when the experiential hall goes for the first time, or when the Mass Event actually opens for the first time. And we want to cover those live so that anybody at home who's on Facebook may not be plugged into the live stream yet. They are able to instantly be a part of the gathering and kind of, even though they may be miles away, they can instantly hop and see and be a part of exactly what you're doing. So live gives you an opportunity that just a recorded video won't be. And I think there's just something special about having that instant connection that just brings people into the experience no matter what it is. So having that, it has been great. We've been able to cover some events. We've been able to have our trusted voice, Pastor Matthew Popovitz, just go live and share a little bit about the messages coming out of Mass Event and help to break those down. So it's been fun, and it's been really helpful to help people experience the gathering.
Very good. I've enjoyed watching it as well. It's been helpful to me because it can't be everywhere at one at the, you know, at the same time. So it's been fun to be able to catch those and talent on camera and the talent behind the camera making that happen so that folks anywhere can see what's happening. I think the first one I saw was probably right before the first Mass Event the first night.
Right.
That was fun.
Yep.
Right out on the plaza there.
Right. Yep. Right on the plaza. We were able to kind of go live and show the entire, 25,000 participants about to enter the dome. And we were able to share that moment with our entire Facebook community. So they were able to be a part of it and enjoy kind of seeing the excitement that was on everyone's faces as they were about to experience Mass Event, possibly for the first time. And so just being able to lift up those moments is really special.
Anything you want us, our listeners, to be watching in the next, 24 hours?
In the next 24 hours. There are, if you go to our Facebook page, LCMS YG, or just look National LCMS Youth Gathering, You're going to be seeing some photo albums go up. You're going to be able to take a look at everything that's been happening. You'll see a photo album from the last mass event. You're going to be seeing some convention center stuff pop up. I really want people to check out Instagram. We have a photo essay team going around right now, capturing some exclusive stories about the gathering and really lifting up kind of individual people's stories and getting them to talk about how God has taken them maybe from a place that was not that great and worked in their lives, drawn them closer to Him, and lifted them out through maybe a difficult time. And being able to feature those stories in an expert way is just, those stories are stories of impact. And if people want to go check that out, it's going to be a great way. So they can check that out on Instagram. We're also going to be lifting a few up on the blog on lcmsgathering.com. But those stories are stories of impact. I think a lot of people will enjoy those.
Another place that you serve, in addition to Michigan District and on the media team here at the National Youth Gathering, a group that's developed, that's kind of emerged on Facebook for those who are serving in a capacity of communicating for their congregation, for a district, for a church body, or for a church organization, Lutheran Communicators on Facebook. It's kind of a hub for those of us who serve in a variety of ways in communications in the church.
Absolutely. So about a few years ago, we started doing this thing where on our Facebook page up in Michigan, we would go live kind of and have office hours where people could chat about any different kind of communications topic. And we kind of grew out of that. We started seeing more and more people start connecting, and they wanted, and groups on Facebook became a lot larger. So Lutheran Communicators was developed, and we've seen, I think we're up around 800 or so Lutherans who are in communication roles, church communications, radio, you know, covering the whole spectrum of our Lutheran church body, people that are in church communication. It's been a great networking spot, a great place to connect, meet people for the first time. So when you actually meet in person someday, you already have a really good, strong relationship kind of built. You know, it's kind of how social media works these days.
Right. And there's so many people that I've run into here at the gathering, including you, that I feel like I know so much about, you know, you and these other individuals just through connecting on social media.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, Lutheran Communicators has become a fun little connection hub where people can meet for the first time and then maybe friend each other out of that. And then they start seeing each other's streams and they become family.
Well, we learn about how we communicate, especially using social media, how we can use these platforms and do our jobs well in terms of communications on behalf of the church. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen some best practices come out. You know, a lot of social media especially changes all the time. So being able to share resources with each other and connect each other to the right resources is increasingly a needed aspect of the group, so people know what's changing, what's happening. But it's also been able to see kind of people emerge a little bit and say, you know, I'm willing to be a part of this group and take on moving us forward into 21st century communication. And I love that group. If everyone wants to join, you can. It's a great connection point to learn more about church communication. Again, that's just Lutheran Communicators.
On Facebook. Yeah. Well, Seth, thanks so much for coming over, spending some time with me. I know you've got some stories to cover today. It's a big day.
Yeah. I'll just say I'm so thankful for the team that we have. It makes my job very simple and a lot less stressful. I'm just so thankful for everyone that's on the team serving in the office and out and about. So thank you.
Thanks so much. Seth Hens, Michigan District Media Team here at the National Youth Gathering as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andy.
I'm going to send it back to the studio for a minute. We need to take a quick break. We're broadcasting live here on Worldwide KFUO from the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans. You're listening to Faith and Family.
Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Kelly Schumacher, artist and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, offers group and private lessons in classical art education that focus on Old Masters oil painting techniques and drawing that glorify God and are based on the fundamental principles of art and art history. Youth and adult lessons are available. AgnusDeiArts.com. That's AgnusDeiArts.com.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering in Christ Alone. We are in the Convention Center in New Orleans, Louisiana, and joining me at the table now, one of our young adult volunteers of the National Youth Gathering, Josh Laborious. Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess it helps if I make sure your mic's
on. I think maybe just a little bit.
There you go. Wait, now we can hear everybody here.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to hear a lot of background, a lot of activity going on here in the Convention Center as well. It's starting to warm up in here and get a little little busy here.
Yeah, we got to make sure it's ready for all the young youth and I guess even younger children. I've seen some like 12-year-olds here getting ready to learn and enjoy and play basketball and hurt each other. You know, all the fun things.
I've seen even even a few families with their young children as well here.
Yeah.
My son came along as well to help with the KFUO booth, and he's two, going to be three soon, and he helped hand out some KFUO gear over the last couple of days. My wife and son are here helping with this as well. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Joshua. You're from Florida.
Yeah. Well,
originally.
Born in California.
Uh-huh.
Lived in Ohio, then Florida, and now my family lives in Georgia, but I actually go to school up in Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt University. So, anchor down, go Commodores.
What are you studying there at Vanderbilt?
I am a double major in educational studies and theoretical mathematics with a minor in computer science, and I'm going to use all those wonderfully painful classes to go to seminary. So exciting stuff.
Did you say theoretical mathematics?
Theoretical mathematics. So the stuff that I learn about has no real application. I don't have to deal with like the realities of the world. I just get to play around in numbers.
With numbers. and you're going to use that. You're planning on going to seminary?
Yes, sir.
In a year?
Yes, sir. Fall of 2017. You know, God willing.
And tell me about some of the other things you do at Vanderbilt, and when you're not studying or you know, working with numbers that have no real application.
Well, I am one of the lead student managers at our campus dining hall, and I've been afforded the opportunity. Up until this year, our retention rate for freshmen that we hire is about 33%. People don't really like working for us, so I have been given permission with very little oversight to develop a program to support employees so maybe we don't lose 70% of them. So I spent a lot of time with that. I am the program director for Vandy Radio over there. Way different from you guys, but still, it's still a fun time. And those are the big things I do there. I used to work at the admissions office, but that's over.
Now, working for the campus radio station, did you get to do any live remote broadcasts like this?
Yes. Our gear weighs about 100 pounds more than yours does. It's from about 100 more years ago. But we broadcast like soccer games and lacrosse games. Not football games, though, because ESPN They don't like sharing. So, but yeah, we
so
do.
So you cover a lot of sports.
Yes, sir.
You know, you could, that's what we should have had you do. Cover the live sports from the National Youth Gathering KFUO sports programs.
Oh, man. That would have been
I don't
fun.
Think we have any sports programs on KFUO. Last time I checked.
I think about 25% of Vandy Radio's programming is sports. Whether it's live coverage or people talking about what teams they think are terrible, good. You know, what people's private opinions about how the Colts are the best.
That makes sense
like that.
For a campus radio station, though.
Yeah,
that
yeah, it's
sense.
A lot of fun.
So I guess we could, you know, we could cover Lutheran sports at the National Youth Gathering.
Yeah. You
could
know, which report Concordia, live. Which Concordia is on top or whatever.
Well, we saw that yesterday with the presidents. Let's see, Concordia University Chicago versus mm-hmm. Concordia University Irvine. As president of Concordia Chicago versus, I think, the vice president from Concordia Irvine.
That's not really a fair fight, is it?
They were on the challenge course, the obstacle course. Over in the colleges section.
Ah.
Yeah.
You think there's any video of that?
It is. It's on Facebook. Ooh, okay. Facebook Live from the National Youth Gathering.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah. See, you could the rest of you do that too.
You could have been doing the commentary all along, the whole time. Well, tell me a little bit about why you were interested in serving as a young adult volunteer here at the National Youth Gathering.
Well, I had been here previously two times. I was here the last time. It was in New Orleans, and that was 2010. And I also went in San Antonio, Texas, and I really got a lot out of these gatherings. It was really cool to see just the incredible number of youth and the experience that everyone was sharing. So I was really excited to kind of see behind the scenes and see how it all worked. And in addition to that, I thought that once I got into that pastoral role, it would really be helpful for me to know kind of how the inner mechanisms of this giant event works. Hopefully so I can be patient when like registration and things go on.
So, you know, just 25,000 people.
Yeah, just
so
only 25,000.
Well, tell me about your responsibilities at this gathering. You have every YAV has they have different jobs, sometimes different every day, sometimes the same job throughout the week. What's your responsibility? What have been some of your key responsibilities here?
Well, my main responsibility is about 200 feet down in the convention hall where we are right now, we're building a 6-foot by 6-foot logo for the National Youth Gathering, the Flor de Lis, I hope that's right, for the gathering, and we're building it out of Lego, and it's over 40,000 pieces. So I have been in charge of making sure none of those pieces walks off and everything fits, and when things don't fit, adjustments are made. So that's what I've been spending the last two or three days doing.
Working with Legos.
I get to play with Legos all day.
Just don't take off your shoes and accidentally
yes.
step on them. Legos hurt when you step on them.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
So you're building the logo, the fleur-de-lis for which is the In Christ Alone logo for this gathering.
Yes,
building
sir.
That out of Legos with the participants here at the gathering. That's
yep.
impressive.
And they're having a lot of fun with it. We have a lot of groups come and get to work together on it, and I guess it's kind of a team building exercise because it's kind of a puzzle and our instructions aren't perfect all the time.
What do you know about the fleur-de-lis?
I know it was a symbol of French royalty at some point, and as a result it was on like all the architecture in New Orleans, which started off as a French city and kind of got adopted by surrounding. That's what I absorbed while I was definitely paying attention to my Southern religion and culture class.
Well, certainly we do see it in French culture, which we see here in New Orleans as well with the Cajun Creole. But I think if I understand correctly, the fleur-de-lis, and one of the reasons why it's part of the gathering logo, there are three parts to it,
mm-hmm.
yet it's one piece.
I never thought about it like that. That's pretty great.
The three in one. It can be used as a reminder of the Trinity,
there
Father,
you
go. Son, and Holy Spirit.
I'm never going to look at the Saints football team the same way again.
Thus, the
yeah.
used by the Saints. A reminder, when one is a saint, one is called, one is given that name, a saint, by God.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's really cool.
So working on the Lego artwork of the National Youth Gathering logo in Christ Alone this week, the fleur-de-lis. Any other jobs you've had throughout the week or any other in your preparation for the gathering?
Well, we got here about 2 days before all the participants to kind of help train, and we're actually on call 24/7. So, like, if I've been doing the mass event with my group, if someone has questions or if they're lost or they need help finding the bathroom or they got separated from their group, I'm there to be a helping hand, to be a friendly face, to help them out. So kind of just walking around, getting people hyped, keeping my face paint on the best I can, and trying to keep my voice as well. So all of these are the responsibility of the young adult volunteer.
Well, that brings me to my next question. For someone, for that young person thinking about applying to be a young adult volunteer in the future, what's your advice for someone who is maybe thinking about it, not sure if they want to do it?
What I would tell them is I actually was very nervous about it. You know, the weeks leading up to it, I was really thinking a lot, you know, what have I signed up for? What did I just get myself into? Because I'm not a super outgoing person. So I was like, I'm not going to know anyone here. I'm going to have to meet new people. This could be rough. And since then, like, I have already decided I'm going to do this again. The fellowship you have with these people and the work that we do, it's just so incredible, both to grow in my faith and grow and kind of widen my perspective of how the faith interacts with individuals, and also just seeing these kids and seeing them as they're growing and as they're learning to connect their faith with the faith of their parents or their pastors.
What advice would you give to a first-time young adult volunteer who's, you know, it's a, maybe a week out, a month out, as they're preparing to come to the National Youth Gathering in 2019? What do they need to know?
I would say be prepared for anything is the number one. Like, the fewer expectations you go in with, I think the better off you are. Not to say that you'd be disappointed, but I think if you go in with a mindset of, I'm here to help and I'm here to absorb whatever I can rather than looking for something specific, I think it helps with the experience, because then you don't miss out on anything because you're looking for something else. And buy orange face paint because it's great.
Orange because that's the color of the shirts
that
of
the
young adult volunteers.
Of the young adult volunteers, they actually, it's kind of a community. We call it Orange Nation, and like throughout the time between gatherings, there are service events and stuff like that that we all do together, which is really cool. And I haven't been told, but I'm assuming the orange started because it's really easy to see. Like, if you're in a room and you're like, oh no, where's my group? Oh no, where's food, bathroom, etc.? You can just look for the bright orange shirt and hopefully those are easy to spot.
I would agree that that's probably the likely reason.
There are a couple of groups here, though, that have similar orange shirts, and I'm looking around, I'm like, why are all those yavs hanging out over this? It's like, did someone collapse or something? Do I need to call the hotline? But yes, Orange Nation.
Yes, I've noticed that a few friends have mentioned that too. In addition to the Orange Nation, orange shirts of young adult volunteers, community life builders wear yellow shirts, so they're easily identifiable.
Yes.
And occasionally a youth group will overlook that in their preparations and plan to all wear yellow shirts or orange shirts, and then they get mistaken for young adult volunteers or CLBs, community life builders, while they're at the gathering.
As long as they're willing to get conscripted, you know, I'm okay with that. Wear all the orange you want.
Well, I know you have some Legos to get back to here in just a little bit. Parade will be lining up and coming through the convention center here in just a few minutes as well. What are you looking forward to with just about a minute left? What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to worship tomorrow, because the last worship service is always really cool. It's always really great to see 25,000 people communing all at once. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely. Me too. I'm looking forward to the divine service tomorrow. I think it's going to be a fantastic time to gather together, receive God's good gifts in word and sacrament. Josh, it's been great talking with you. I'll let you get to your Legos. Thanks for being a young adult volunteer and being my guest here on Faith and Family today.
My pleasure. Have a great day, you guys.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. I'm Andy Bates, reporting live from the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, in Christ Alone, on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.